We're going live onto Facebook now, so if you keep yourselves on mute, because I've got it on speaker mode, only I will be shown on the screen. So you should hopefully all be fine and dandy. So I'm just going to check and make sure that, yep, I can see lots of different faces, and it will be recording us. So it's just warm welcome to everybody here today. I'm going to ask you to be on mute if you are on the Zoom side of this call. If you're on Facebook and you're wanting to join in for some, a cup of tea and a natter at the end of the service, then go on to the stokepoges.org website and click yourself through on the Zoom link at the end of the service. Do it quickly because we only hang around for about 10, 15 minutes at the end, and join us and say hello. Warm welcome to everybody here. I can see most of you, but not all of you because of the way that I've got my screen set up at the moment. But we are on two platforms. On Zoom, and we are on Facebook. And thank you to all of those people that have given us licenses today for playing their music. So thank you to Graham Kendrick, and thank you also to iWorship. They have given us permission to use their music. So there's no need for Facebook to mute us at any point during this service. So hopefully you've opened your service sheet and you have it in front of you, either printed off or on a screen beside. And we're going to begin with these gathering words. You say the words in bold. Praise God who loves us. Praise God who cares. Let us pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we rejoice with thanks for all those who have mothered us in our lives. In a world that is broken, and in need of your motherly love, please use us to aid others as you do us in providing comfort, nurture, protection, and support. We ask that you grow us as carers to those who need us, so that we might celebrate your goodness together, even through our own brokenness. Amen. I'm going to share screen with you now so that we can sing together this wonderful song of praise, which is Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Shining in the midst of the darkness, shine. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
Shine on me,
shine.
darkness, so my faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirror, here may our lives tell a story. Shine on, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine.
Welcome back, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all joining throughout this call. It's really great. Tina or Simon, can I just ask that, I think that's Hilda that's on the telephone. Could you just change her number into a name just in case for me, please? Thank you.
Yes, it is me. Sorry, I'm late. I had to, I forgot at the time.
Absolutely wonderful to see everybody here. And as you know, we're on Facebook Live as well. So if you speak, you go straight onto Facebook and the whole World Wide Web. So as long as it's me that's speaking, it'll just be me that's on their screen. We've got our confession now. You might want to take your cup of coffee if you've managed to get one and just hold it close to you as a bit of comfort as we stand or sit before our Lord right now. Just take a moment and pause. We are the body of Christ, and as the whole body, we do this confession together. So I'll say the words in normal print, and you say the words in bold. God our Father, as Pharaoh's daughter noticed the needs of a small child alone in the reeds, so help us to notice those areas of our own lives needing care and attention. Let's just have a moment of silence. Now let us confess our sin, seeking the embrace of God's forgiveness and peace. Where we have failed to nurture the needy, Lord, have mercy. When we fail to make space in our lives for the brokenhearted, Christ, have mercy. When we struggle to forgive those who have withheld their love from us, Lord, have mercy. Merciful Father, you know our struggle to serve you. When wrongdoing spoils our lives and overshadows our hearts, come to our aid and turn us back to you again through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can I ask Pam Blewett now to unmute herself as she brings us today's reading, which is from the book.
Hello, everyone. This reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let me now pray as we come to our sermon. As is usual on our Zoom services, I say to those that feel that it's much easier for them to turn their video screen off so that they can concentrate, a bit like when you're listening to the podcast, then please feel free to do so now. That's absolutely fine. I'll pray and then we'll begin. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Did you notice how many different people were involved in the care and the raising of that one child? Three people in particular could be described as having a mothering or a nurturing role, yet only one is its biological mother. For our Bible passage this Mothering Sunday, there's a lot going on, isn't there? There is adoption, there is danger, childbirth in the midst of oppression. We see choices being made, sacrifices, tenderness, compassion, nurture, love, care, protection, wisdom, opportunities grasped and taken, boldness, bravery, defiance against injustice, and tangled in and amongst it all, we see God inspiring and finding a way through. So what has this to do with Mothering Sunday? God, us, now. There is a much used African proverb. It says it takes a village to raise a child, which means it takes an entire community of people interacting with children for those children to experience and grow in a safe and healthy environment. Yet these were terrible times for the people of God. A place of sanctuary and plenty had dissolved into terror, slavery, and a sense of being abandoned. So not exactly safe or healthy, yet because of the interactions between this small group of people, in the decades to come, this little miracle of human ingenuity and subversive interaction between an oppressor and the oppressed will allow for something amazing to happen. something outstanding to happen. A child was raised. Hope had not been lost. But it was like a tangled up ball of rope, complete mess. Going with a bit of an insane plan, throwing up prayers of, please God help, that ripped through the heavens. And in this one act of mercy, where the coincidences, if you're gullible enough to think that that's all that's going on in this story, is showing us, sees the beginning of a plan that would end with the saving of a nation. A baby born in slavery, condemned to death, is saved, raised, equipped, and called to be God's mouthpiece for the oppressed and bound. And it took a mum, a sister, an adopting mum, godly midwives, just look back at chapter one for that in Exodus, and helpers to work as one to make this happen. What an unlikely tribe they made. And it was all a bit knotty. So let's take a closer look and see if we can unpick at least just a little bit and see how their story became part of our story. The story of God's saving grace to a world knotted and in pain through the actions of a few. Moses' mum, who was called Jochebed, if you wanted to know that, held her newborn baby boy and saw he was beautiful. Now, I know most mums look at their babies and go, oh. And we all look gorgeous to our mums. But this was different. The beauty that Moses' mum speaks of points to just more than earthly beauty. It's more like, if you looked at the Hebrew, the creation story in Genesis 1, where God, seeing what he was creating, exclaims at the end of each day, and that was good. There's a deepness, a richness in Jochebed's words that goes beyond mere physical attributes. She marvelled at him in a way she hadn't with her older children. This is the problem with our English translations of the Bible. They miss those Hebrew subtleties in their turns of phrase. This baby was radiating something that she recognised as being from God. It must have puzzled her, but she loved him. And in secret, she cared and nursed him. That must have been such a stressful time for her. Babies are not easy things to keep secret. Eventually, at 3 months old, keeping Moses hidden was no longer an option. Now what was she going to do? Her baby needed to live. It was her child. He radiated this beauty. How could she continue to keep him safe? She had to get other people involved. There was no other way. She was desperate, but she was also resourceful. She had a plan, an inspired plan. A woven basket in the shallows, in a place where many women went to bathe and wash their clothes. And that would ensure that Moses was found. The tar not only waterproofed this little ark, but also protected the baby from the heat of the day. Mum was still providing for her child. She had a plan, remember. It was quite a big picture plan, not much detail, but she was trusting to someone else for that. Can you see the tangled mess of this complicated situation? It's starting to loosen a little bit now. Now, I'm not sure who Giacomo thought might find her child, but the spot she chose to let this little ark float into uncertainty wasn't the sandbanks where the crocodiles sunned themselves, but the cooler, shaded, reed-based part of the Nile, frequented by humans. So she might have been following the essence of the law in Egypt, dictated by Pharaoh. She did indeed throw her boy into the river as commanded. Yet, probability dictated that he would be found. But who? Who would find him? A Hebrew slave? Well, then she'd be back to square one, wouldn't she? Maybe an Egyptian servant? Not a bad option. But no, a princess. An Egyptian princess. And this woman should have turned the child over to her father's soldiers, but she didn't. Her heart softened. She looked at this strong Hebrew boy and she saw someone she could love and nurture. And using the Hebraic formula of, and she took him as her son, she adopted him. How unexpected. What a plot twist. One of Pharaoh's 600 daughters found the boy. Moses was safe and he was going to be okay. But what about his heritage? How is he ever going to know who he really was and where he came from? Out steps from the reeds another woman, a girl really, Miriam. She wants to watch over Moses, to keep an eye on him in the background. Perfectly poised and ready to help, she's full of love and desire to protect. Now, in reality, what does she think she can do? She's a slave girl in a country that hates her. She has no rights. She has no voice. Then finding a voice from goodness knows where, she steps forward and speaks to a princess, no less. Do you want me to find you a Hebrew woman? Someone who can nurse the baby and help you care for it? Aha. Another fine detail resolved. And what a strange solution. The mum who wasn't able to keep her own child can now do so, and publicly, in safety. Because Pharaoh's daughter has given her permission to raise him. This is bizarre. What is going on? Well, these early years spent with his birth mother would have allowed Moses to learn about the Hebrew culture and the God that one day would reveal himself in a burning bush. Out of all these complicated turns and twists in the parenting and care of Moses, there's a thread of purpose. No moment was wasted. Rebecca Nye is a Christian teacher of children's spirituality, and she says those early years of just exposing children to your faith, talking about God, is something that children can soak up and respond to unfettered. Moses had these wonderful opportunities. Not a moment was wasted. As we untangle this passage in Exodus, we glimpse something, someone, who is never openly referred to, but is always there, hovering over this whole situation, turning bad into good, and making Jochebed's plan into a reality that delivered so much more than even she had imagined. As she'd looked into that baby's face and seen something so radiantly fine. A helpless child will be the instrument God uses to deliver his people, only as people of the post-Easter event, though, can we see the wry humour of this? Foreshadowing of future events, when God himself comes as a helpless child to pull a world out of slavery, not just a nation, but a world into freedom. The parent of all creation is woven throughout this story and through all of our stories. It's just that sometimes our stories are complicated and knotty, like this one. So it's hard to see where God could possibly figure in our lives. But he's there. I'm sure of it. In each of our lives, if we took the time to reflect and just to unpick it, we'd see how a tribe of nurturing, God-fearing people have played their part in getting us to where we are today. And I wonder, have you ever said thank you to them? Or even God, for stepping in and ensuring you are raised by and in his grace, free to love, laugh, and share your story of faith today. Amen. I'd like you just to hold your hands now like that. Just weave them together like they are like an upside down arc. And then turn them that way around. Sorry, it's hard for you to see what I'm up to on this screen. But just feel, just linking your hands together like that, the solidity of it and the security of it. And as we come into our next song of praise, I want you to try and hold your hands like that and imagine all the things of grace that God has poured into your life, okay? You might get fed up holding your hands like that after a while, but you'll get the idea. You know what I'm trying to do. I want you to hold God's grace in your little Moses baskets in your hands, okay, as we come into this next song of praise. So Tina is going to share screen with us now, and we're going to sing A Little Bit of Love, which Graham Kendrick wrote in the first lockdown, which just is wonderful and amazing and quite appropriate for today.
Two, three, four. A little bit of love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and I'm on my way. A little love, a little love. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little bit of love, and the sun comes shining. A little love, a little love. A little bit of kindness and someone smiling. A little love, a little love. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love. Little drops of rain can trickle down into a puddle, then the puddles get together, making streams that make a river. The rivers fill the valleys with the roaring and the rushing, then the little drops of rain have made a wide, 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 wide ocean. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A long way, but we'll get there together. A long way, but we'll get there soon. Along the way, we can lean on each other. A little love goes a long, long way. A little love, a little love, a little love.
Thank you, Tina, for sharing that for us. We're going to affirm our faith now. if you are the kind of person that much prefers to stand at this point, remember to step back so we don't have your tummies in the way. And let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm going to put myself on mute now so Richard can share with us our intercessions.
Good morning. The response is in the order of service, but just to remind you, when I say, in you, O Lord, you respond, do we put our trust? In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for the Church. Dear Lord, we often refer to our Mother Church. In olden days, this was where the children who had left home came to on Mothering Sunday, bringing gifts for their mothers. In these troubled times, many children are unable to meet up with their mothers, and our church here is working hard to be a mother to those in such circumstances. We give thanks for our bishops and all the ministers of your church, and especially for Natasha. And we pray for all members of our church here in Stoke Poges. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for the world. Dear Father, you made this world a place of beauty. You provided food and sunlight and showers so that the food grew. You taught us how to care for this bounty so that we had work to do. And your Son Jesus taught us how to prune, where to sow, and how to harvest. Father, we ask that you guide our leaders and our scientists and your children so that we may all work together to prevent our activities from destroying this planet. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for our community. Dear God, we thank you for all those in our community here in Stoke Poges and its neighbourhood. We give you thanks for all those who, of whatever sex, race, or age, act as our mothers, caring for us, comforting for us, and soon we pray be able to give us a kiss or a hug. We pray for our teachers who teach us, expanding our knowledge of all that we need to know. And we continue to pray for the food cupboard, for Anne and her team who manage it, and for the Good Neighbour scheme in our village. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those in special need. Father, we pray for all those in need of love, for those whose lives have been spoilt or damaged by the pandemic, which has prevented them from seeing family and friends. Help us, Lord, to be good neighbours, as Jesus taught us. And in a moment of silence, we hold them before you, Lord. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We remember those who have died, and we pray for the bereaved. we hold before you the family and friends of Tony Bunce, whose funeral was this week, and also members of the Blake and Reeks families, as their family ashes are interred at St. Giles shortly. Dear Father, we pray for all those who grieve. Help them as they come to terms with their terrible loss. Remembering all who have gone before us in faith and in communion with all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God, to you, O Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. Let's say together our collect for today. God of love, passionate and strong, tender and careful, watch over us and hold us all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's weave these prayers into one with the one that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today this our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We come now to our final song of praise, and it is 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. And can I just take this moment to thank Heather McDowell, who curated these worship songs for this week to go with this Exodus passage. It's not easy trying to find the right songs to go with this passage and Mothering Sunday. So thank you, Heather. You did an amazing prayer-filled job. So Tina, would you like to share screen with us, and we will make a joyful noise in our living rooms and studies as we sing this song of praise.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Song again. Thank you. dawn that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Was a wonderful final song of praise, so wonderfully written by Matt Redman, as we know, but was performed by Icing Worship. Just before we come to our dismissal and final prayer, those that are watching on Facebook, if you wanted to join us for a chinwag, then you're going to have to make sure that you click very quickly over onto the website and we'll admit you via Zoom. And when we finish this service, it's the same as it is in church. You know, some of you need to rush off, so just wave, say tatty byes and off you go. And others might want to hang around and talk to one another. Then you are more than welcome to do so. This week, this coming week, we've got Baby Steps back. We had a week's holiday last week, but we're back. We are virtually full. So if you are a new parent who's had a child during lockdown 1, 2 or 3 and want to come and join us, then just check with the office first, because the chapel can only take so many people socially distanced. But we will do our best to squeeze you in if we can. As Richard mentioned in our intercessions, the store cupboard is still open for a few more weeks for those that find themselves in a new and peculiar situation where finances just aren't what they were before, and the store cupboard is there to help you. And those that are struggling to get to the shops, we will point you in the direction of the Good Neighbour Scheme and help you out with that. So please don't fear. We will find a way of helping you however we can. Please continue to pray for one another, be good news to your neighbours, and remember that we love God and we love people. Let's pray, shall we, in this final prayer. Praise God who loves us. Praise God who cares. May the blessing of God be with us as we love and serve one another and as we share Christ's unconditional love. In the name of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit. Amen. You'll see if you've got your service sheet on your screen that there's a click here bit. So if you are scooting off, you might want to do this now or you might want to save it for later. It is Mother's Day. So we've got Mary, Did You Know? Heather knows it's a Christmas song, but it doesn't matter. It's very poignant and lovely. So do take that away with you. That's our takeaway song via YouTube for this week. So God bless. Stay safe. And I'm going to turn Facebook Live off in a second so the rest of you can chinwag to your heart's content on Zoom. OK, so let me work out how to turn Facebook off. There we go.